the blessings of love and respect are offered to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 great prohibited precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhamma. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi svaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer so we can drop that and end suffering.
Shall we look at this morning? Yes, Brian.
I've had a recent little fun going around and just seeing how little whatever is not falling apart has to do with whatever is going on in my life. There's always a story about this is going on and that's going on, and that's why you feel this way and you're having this experience. It's just not true. But there's always a story available, and there's usually dozens of stories available. And it's kind of pick whichever one suits the karma you're experiencing at the moment.
Uh-huh.
And I have sort of long-term fluctuations in my brain chemistry, so that it maps pretty closely to what you would call depression and mania.
Mm-hmm.
About 3 month periods.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really actually it's pretty neat, because what it just means is that there's two states that have completely different unrelated karma.
Mm-hmm.
The stories that Brian in state A will bite on and go with are completely different from the stories that Brian in state B will bite on. And then there's this transition period that is completely unrelated to everything else for like a week as I'm shifting states, where I'm just barely functional as a human being. If there is a ball, you know that I'm tracking how to drop it during that week.
You do drop, it does drop during that week?
Yeah. It doesn't matter what's, yeah. If I'm juggling multiple things in my life, all of them will be dropped. And so it's just neat to see how the stories change. And of course, conditioning is obviously very clear on what the current state is and where the state is heading.
Uh-huh.
Right? And so there's this entire period, almost you can see it's like two different teams,
uh-huh.
Right, are passing a project off between each other.
Yeah.
You know, so it's one, I'm watching my experience be shunted from one narrative to another narrative, and there's this nice little changing of the guard going on. But at every step of the process, the story is that the reason all of these things are happening, the reason I'm experiencing things in a different way, the reason I'm having different emotions, is something going on in the environment.
Mm-hmm.
And even though the same process is happening widely year after year after year at the same times, and different things are going on in my life every year.
Yeah. So the constant is that egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is sort of the director and producer of this whole drama or mm-hmm. whole, you know, quote, reality, where there's this state A, state B, a transition in the middle, and basically Brian, this human, is just sort of the, just sort of the bit player in all of this that gets directed and gets told this and gets, you know, led to that. And so he goes through these highs and lows and transitions and all of that. And what you're seeing is, or what you're saying is, that it is fun to watch that. So there's a level, it sounds like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but that there's a level of disidentification that is the stream through it all, because you're watching all of this happening. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So and much so that you could even call it fun to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's just this kind of baseline understanding of going back. I think I started noticing these things when I was like 16 or 17. Mm-hmm. Started noticing, oh, I'm reliably having this experience in this one. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's to the point where I'm like, if I'm actually paying attention and remembering, oh yeah, I have this entire experience of my life, I can just look at the calendar and go, oh yeah, this is going on. And then just look at the previous several weeks and go, oh, oh Lord, no wonder. No wonder everything in my life is going like this. I'm just at this point in the cycle, no good whoop, you know. Mm-hmm. And so there are then, depending upon where what's going on with that, there's a different set of practices that are required to make life work mm-hmm. within that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just because of the recognition that a story that would be obvious in one state, and go, well, how could I ever fall for that?
Mm-hmm.
Go to, you know, 2 months later, that's the most compelling thing in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no ability to not just run with it.
Yeah.
And so just having to set up an infrastructure of, okay, well, these are the practices that are really useful in this state. These are the practices that are really useful in this state. And we need to set up the infrastructure to make sure that, when that transition happens, there's an awareness of it. It's like, okay, switch to the next set of structures that support us, while this is going on.
Yeah. And in that way, then life becomes the director of it. So the little, quote, drama, you know, the stages, the things that have been happening since you were 16, 17 that you're really clued into, becomes sort of the bit player. And life is then the director and producer of what supports Brian. What really supports the heart in this, when this is happening, when this is happening, when this is happening. And it sounds like, I'm projecting that the part of this incarnation is to cooperate with that, to set up the infrastructure that will, as a team, the mentor life and the human get to be supported and get to not suffer over the karma that is just, you know, what is there.
Yeah, you know, the experience is that life unfolds within a certain set of constraints.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And as I'm experiencing it, that's a set of constraints. And then there's building a life that doesn't involve suffering within those constraints.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the neat thing to see is that the constraints change
mm-hmm.
pretty dramatically throughout the year. And watching how stories get built up to try to exploit that change in constraints mm-hmm. to create a change in experience to something that involves suffering.
Mm-hmm. Wow, and in that seeing, there is so much freedom, isn't there? Those constraints don't have to be taken seriously, because if they change, if they're exploited, if somebody else, like conditioning, can manipulate them, then they're not constant. They're not alive. They're nothing to really believe in.
Yeah, and you know, there's always the contrasting comparing that happens there. Where, you know, if I'm really depressed, the story is it would be so much better if I was, you know, fully manic and full of energy and just zipping from here to here to here, and you know, not constant in any way, not able to really be, to stick with one thing. Just, you know, oh, I'm just going wherever happens to occur. And then when I'm in the other state, it's, man, I really wish I could focus and stay on one thing and not be so flighty. And, and just being able to recognize, this is happening now, and that's okay.
Yeah.
And that was happening before, and it was okay then. But that's not gonna, there's no world in which that's what's happening now.
Yeah.
So there's no need to even try to compare the two, because what's happening now is happening now. It's never going to be all tech and then all tech you have to really.
Yes, it really is. This focus just keeping your attention on the process. So the process of conditioning is trying to get you to wish it was the other way. Go back to this. Oh man, I wish I could do da da da. And what you're saying is, no, this is what's here. This is what's here now. This is what I'm practicing with. And that's period. That's it. Mm-hmm. And that other process is what actually leads to the suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Boy, that's big.
And no matter where I am, ultimately, that's great.
No matter where you are, ultimately, that's great. That's where you are.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great. Thank you. Yes, Gary.
I had a fun workshop this morning.
Speak up, please, sir.
I had a fun workshop this morning. It's still very current, this moment.
Uh-huh.
So I had something to do that was new, something new to do.
Uh-huh.
So I started, I had practiced because I need, there's some tools involved and some behaviors and some different things to do to get organized. And so I had been practicing, and this morning I was just all, I had everything all set up around me. It was like a control desk at the spaceship, you know. I had it all there. Already, I had sat a little bit before and gotten myself calmed because I was feeling a little anxious. If I made a mistake, it would be kind of obvious in some other people's experience. And so, comes time to do it, it involved a phone call.
Mm-hmm.
So I call, and then there's just this music playing.
Mm-hmm.
And there was nobody else was there, and the music was playing, and so I couldn't do any of the things I was supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sitting there, you know, I'm all perfectly prepared, right?
Yes,
you know,
you're poised to
I'm
go.
Ready. I'm gonna nail this. So all there is this music. So I'm thinking, okay, I got on way too early, so I'll just wait. So I'm waiting. And it's getting close to the time when it's supposed to start. My music is still playing, and I'm thinking something is wrong. Maybe I dialed the wrong number. So I get out, and I dial it again, just the music. So, you know, we're coming right. I've got certain things to do before we come up to the time it's supposed to start. Coming up to the time it's supposed to start now, I know something is wrong. You know, something is wrong. And it just dropped in. Ugh! I had practiced setting up this thing on a, it was the same phone number, but a different access code.
Mm-hmm.
So I realized, boom, I'm on the wrong access code. And all of a sudden, just this adrenaline comes up. And I'm just like, my brain just goes, and I have no idea where the real number would be.
Uh-huh.
I'm thinking, do I have to go get on my computer, blah, 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 blah. Then it comes in, boom. It's got to be on the paper that you're looking at. you dialed the one you had written on, the number you've written on the paper. So I dial it really quick and could barely start the thing off because there was just all this adrenaline and all this kind of frazzled energy,
uh-huh.
You know. And but, you know, just kind of gradually pulled it all back in and went ahead with the thing. And as far as I know, I think it went all right to the end. But it was just such an interesting workshop just
mm-hmm.
to see how it isn't about having yourself. I mean, you know, it helps to be prepared with the stuff you need. But the real thing that was required was just to be centered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think because those things dropped in at the time when I was ready to be panicked. What I got to see is that life is going to be there supporting even when something happens that, I mean, I thought I had dialed the right number,
mm-hmm.
so it just didn't make sense
mm-hmm.
in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But what made sense dropped in.
Yeah.
Where to get the other number dropped in.
Well, and the thing that's occurring to me is that, yes, it's quite, you know, I won't say it's quite easy, but it sounds like it's not a stretch for you to believe that life will drop it in, like that it will
mm-hmm.
be there. And what's occurring to me is that, and you were there to receive it.
Yeah.
You know? So amid the adrenaline, the what's wrong, the all of that would have had your I mean, could have had you spinning in circles where your attention was look on the paper, wrong access code. And you received the information.
Yeah, oh boy, I was thanking the universe afterwards. And my mentor, I think she was, you know, helping me big time.
Yeah.
And I just, it was just really a good lesson that, you know, what's going to happen is going to happen. And the best thing to do is just to be ready to be there and, you know, flow with it. And if it gets messed up, then if you're trying the best you can,
yeah,
and it happens, well, then you have to be ready to accept that too.
Yeah, because that would have been okay too.
It would have had to
have you. Wouldn't have had to have been.
Yeah,
you could have gone into a whole, you know, deal of suffering,
self-hate or something.
Yeah. But that's not what you're practicing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
What you're practicing is it's all okay. The mentor's here. Mm-hmm. No matter what happens, it's going to be fine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and you got to see what all happens in the body.
Oh my gosh.
And the energy.
There was enough energy to light a city, I'm telling you. I mean, it was just, because I was right on the time, and it was just, there was no time to go look up the number on the computer or something like that. I mean, it was right there.
Yeah.
So it was
really fun to see.
It was a very fun, well, it wasn't so fun right in that high body sensation part, but reflecting on it, you know, it was really, really good to see. It was a perfect workshop.
Yeah, the perfect workshop.
Because if I had done it, I had got all that out there and everything went perfectly, then I would have thought, oh, well, that was good preparation, you know, whatever. And the preparation really wasn't the thing.
Yeah, that's a really good thing to underline. So had that workshop not happened, it might have been easy to reinforce the belief that it's because you got everything all out, you were early, you prepared, you did all that, that because of that process, that happened.
Right.
And what this workshop did was sort of throw a stick in the bicycle spokes of that cause and effect illusion.
And the illusion of control.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The illusion of control.
Yeah.
And then therefore you got to see that really one has nothing to do with the other.
Yeah, really. I mean, if it hadn't worked, I still would have been just as prepared as I could possibly have been. I mean, I really put some effort into it, you know, because I was nervous that I was going to blow it. And so, yeah.
Yeah, so there's the process of preparing and process of that, and there's the process of calling, and there's the process of doing, and then there's the process of this. That really all that life is a series of processes.
Mm-hmm.
And that when we link it to an outcome, that's when we get in trouble. That's the egocentric karmic conditioning, linking this to that, that really have nothing to do with each other.
And what I just saw as you said that is if that is reinforced as what we're going for, then the importance of being present to be there when things don't go as they're planned is not being reinforced.
Yes.
You know, I'm counting on all this preparation being what is going to allow me to be the person that needs to be there.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Well said. So what doesn't get reinforced is being present in that whole system that we just laid out. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, very good. Thank you. Yeah, Karen.
I'm looking at a number of things. And wholehearted living is the thing that kind of came up when I woke up this morning. And how I want to tie it in is I've been seeing in working meditation how there's this like wholehearted, you know, effort, just jumping in, you know, all 4 feet, and really working to, you know, really like really into it and all that, and then yesterday, and I'm also, okay, I'm going to tie it in with transitions too, because yesterday I was given a project, and I wasn't quite sure how I was going to do it. Mm-hmm. And so, and it took, there was a lot of walking, just within the building, but walking and taking shoes off, and, you know. And so, as I was walking in, I noticed this conversation of, like, well, how are you going to, you know, do this other piece, like, way down the line from where I was starting. Mm-hmm. And the information came in that, you know, okay, this is the transition, mm-hmm. and just do this part, mm-hmm. and then wait, you know, then we'll just see as we go, each step, you know, because there were so many little different steps, and it was so much fun because it felt so wholehearted, and there was just a staying with it, mm-hmm. each little piece, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and yet I got to a place, and what I learned is that wholehearted living has nothing to do with getting it perfect. You know? And it didn't even matter, you know, it wasn't, there was no self-hate in it, mm-hmm. there was no nothing going on about it, because there was such an authentic effort being made, mm-hmm. by the being, that mm-hmm. it was, I don't know, it just felt very, that whole way of living just felt so kind and compassionate, and like I just couldn't go wrong.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Those are the words that were coming up for me, is really real. That way of living. So when conditioning sounds like was trying to get you to jump ahead three or four steps and not be here, but really be, you know,
yeah.
in its imaginary progression of the task, right? And what life and you were directing your attention to is, let's stay here. Let's be in this step, and we'll see. Take it. So take a step, stop, look, and be here, and then see. And that way, and that felt like being wholeheartedly here. That wholehearted living is just staying with what is right here, and not giving one's attention to the ego, you know, rantings of future or what next or when are we gonna or whatever, but really just know being here. And that doesn't mean anything about the outcome.
No, it really didn't.
Or we could even say the other way, maybe the outcome doesn't mean anything about that process.
No.
Yeah, the two
of them. Yeah, it really didn't. And it doesn't, and I got to see that. But it has something to do with the transitions. The transition part that is what is really assisting me somehow. Because when I have to walk from one place. I mean, it's very little. Mm-hmm. It takes about, you know, 40 seconds. Mm-hmm. But still, I can be with just the walking and the caring.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I mean, the whole thing, it's just, it's yeah. hard to articulate, but it's just been the neatest assistant
yes.
for me.
It's, you know, what's reminding me of that peace quote that came through by Thich Nhat Hanh, mm-hmm. Maybe a week ago or whenever, that everything is a rite. R-I-T-E, a rite, a ritual or rite. Mm-hmm. So bringing the teacup from the dish to your mouth is a rite. And I think the quote says, does that seem too solemn? Well, I say that so that you can see the true life and death matter of awareness. Mm-hmm. And it speaks to what, to me, it speaks to what you're saying with the transitions. So walking from that shoe rack to that shoe rack, if we think of it as a rite, you know, a rite of passage or whatever. Does that seem too solemn that you should pay close attention to that, you know, 20 yards? Well, life and death happens in the moment in 40 seconds. You know, we're here
yeah.
or we're not.
Yeah, and you know, and then the other big thing I've been watching that ties in with it all is This Is It. Because it's like every moment, this is it.
Yes.
And then with that transition, it's even come into meditation for me, because I'm watching the transition between the inhale and the exhale and the next breath, you know, the little space that there's nothing happening, that, you know, I've decided that's a transition, but it's all transition. And it's just been so much fun for me to look at it this way and to practice with it. And it's that, I think, is that here is what sort of led to this sense of wholeheartedness.
Yes.
You know, yeah. And it's a different kind, it's a kind of wholeheartedness that builds a lot of energy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's very sustainable to the being and very, just, I don't know, it's like getting it charges the battery of life or something.
Yeah.
It's just,
yeah.
It's just the neatest thing.
Well, I project because when you have that, when you're with the heart, the wholeheartedness is being with the heart. And that when, that there's no movement away from it, even between an inhale and an exhale, there's no movement away. You know, come back. That you're really practicing diligently just being with it. And in that way, it's one with all that is, one with the heart. And where else would we find the energy but right there? Where else does energy live but right here in the moment with that oneness? You know, it's the moving away that drains the energy.
Yeah.
So it kind of makes sense that you would find it so energizing, that the practicing of just staying put, staying with.
Yeah.
It is. It's beautiful.
Very fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. David.
I feel like I was looking at something somewhat similar, kind of ballpark with that yesterday, and something actually that life was dropping in.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know if it's a life process or if I was actually seeing an ego process, that perhaps both, who knows. But what it was, let's see if I can articulate this. So it was the experience of, or the process of, what it would be like to allow this being to be fully here. And not, it was interesting the way it came in, because it wasn't the idea of like being fully present or being fully aware.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like that's probably a whole other layer that I haven't quite broached yet. And get glimpses of it. But being fully here, and what I saw with that, or what I mean with that is, there's always, it seems like the ego process that I was looking at is, there's always a place of ego saying, well, if you do this, then you're going to get here. I mean, it's a very simple thing. We talk about it all the time, but let me try and articulate it in the way that I was kind of seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
So the drive of ego to always get us out of this moment now. And it was like, so there's ego. The ego's working on that the whole time. You know, getting out of this moment now. And whether it's a feeling, whether it's an experience, a situation, no matter what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And what dropped in from life was just this place of like, wow. You know, you have the absolute permission to just experience what it would be like to be fully here, with no promise that there is something, you know. So the way it works in my case is, do a period of time, or be in a situation, whether it be here at the monastery, or in a relationship with a woman, or in any kind of construct that my life would happen to be taking at that time. And there's always this thing of like, we'll do it for this period of time, overcome it in some way, but really you're trying to get to the next stage. And so it's a constant, so I'm never actually, the process is one of never really ever seeing what life would be like if I was actually just fully here.
Well, that is subtle, isn't it? That, and if there is really, I know what you mean by it. It's subtle, but when we say it all the time, but you're seeing it on a really new level, that if there's always somewhere beyond where you are now that you're really trying to get to, that's kind of the sneaky little message that ego's putting in, then that steals from you the permission and the huge benefit of just simply being here.
Yeah.
And really receiving everything that is here to receive, which I wonder if that's sort of the promise of what you would get when you move beyond here.
Right.
Is really what you're able to receive when you are.
When actually here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's, you know, again, it's what we, it seems like it's spoken about often. It's just that, like the way you reflected that, like when we see it from a perspective that we've never seen it before, or when we have a direct experience of it in a way that we've never had that before, it feels, you know, so opening or so like, whoa, you know, either is that what they're talking about, or is that what life can be? And I think you're absolutely spot on with that, in the sense that, you know, there is this implicit promise that something, you know, getting somewhere will offer something. Mm-hmm. And it's often very nebulous, you know, it's often just kind of out there. But it's very, very, it drives everything. Mm-hmm. And so what I see with it is that that process, that kind of ego process, is always transporting the attention to some time other than this moment now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so the experience that goes along with the ego process there is then the rising of an I who is going to try and be in this moment.
Yeah.
And then it gets into a whole dualistic struggle of like, well, am I enjoying it? You know, is this the way it's supposed to feel? And so does it mean or, you know, am I hating this? Is this not for me? So it pulls it down into kind of the duality where ego or that separate I would operate. And the life process that I was kind of experiencing, you know, yesterday was this place of that dualistic place of looking, even from, am I enjoying this? Am I not enjoying this? Is this going to be what it's about? Is this not going to be what it's about? All of that doesn't actually have to be part of it. Because that's not really the deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the deal is just allowing myself to be fully here for the experience of life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it sounds like what was happening yesterday is you were not going with, not willing to entertain this illusion of this separate I. And we're just really enjoying being here, and when that separate I gets created, then that's where the door is wide open for volumes and volumes of dualistic conversations. Am I enjoying this? Do I like this? Is this for me? And perhaps, or, you know, I don't know, but what's dropping in is that perhaps when that door isn't even open, then the dualist, it really just doesn't even matter. It's not even introduced.
It's not. And I was even going to say, you know, I wasn't even really quote-unquote enjoying, I mean, yesterday, in the sense that it was blissful.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't from a place of like an I who was enjoying it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no separate I.
There was no judge. There was no like checking in about like, well, am I enjoying this? Does this feel really good? Or it could be on the other. Yesterday happened to be, you know, kind of the more blissful experience. But the checking in about whether I'm enjoying it or whether I'm not enjoying it, it's that seems to dissipate in the process of being just allowing or life offering the permission to be fully here.
Yeah.
You know, it's such a unique place because I could feel at certain points the the desire or the draw to want to go and check in about, like, again, not really definable in terms of like how things are going or stuff, but definitely implied, check in to see how things are going.
Well, and maybe to tweak the language a little bit, that it wasn't you that felt the drive, that you didn't have the drive to check in. That what you were sensing then was ego all there, clamoring,
yeah.
Just always there, check in.
Yeah.
And what was happening, it's so hard to talk without pronouns, you know, but like, so just with life.
Yeah.
That was what we could say, the quote, you were right then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that what it felt like? No checking in.
No
assessment whatsoever.
No assessment, yeah. It was more, yeah, it was a more, you know, it's that place where, yeah, kind of like a being with would be a good way to say
it.
A being with. And it, there's a couple other pieces. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get them back at this point, but there was a few other pieces with it that were really, that seemed just really informative when they were dropping in. It's I'm struggling to get them back, but it centered around that place of there's just the awareness of, gosh, you know, oh, here was the one piece. Ego does this thing where it says, and this is absolutely brilliant by ego for its purposes, and it does this thing where it says, you can't be fully here in this moment now, because if you are, then you'll get stuck here. And it doesn't say it in the this moment now. It uses a constructor. So whether it's the monastery or a relationship or a certain place or wherever it is, somewhere in my life kind of thing, it basically has this wonderful thing for itself where its whole deal is, you know, you can't be fully... Don't you dare think about being fully here in this moment, because, and then it lays out a script of being trapped or never getting what I, in quotes, in other words, it wants and what it can promise to keep the attention in that, out of this moment. So it's such a brilliant, you see how, I mean, it's just such a perfect foil to never be here fully in life.
Yes.
And I think that was what was so unique, perhaps, from my own experience of the experience yesterday, or the awareness that kind of channeled in from life, was just, it was the opposite of that.
Uh-huh.
It was this place of no fear.
Uh-huh.
This place of like, well, you know what? I'm at this monastery right now.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know how long I'm going to be here. It could be forever. It could be tomorrow that I leave. It became irrelevant because it was like life going, well, instead of buying that story of like, you know, this and then a promise of what's next, of what you really want to do, that dropped away. And there was this fearless point, an absence of fear of just, well, why don't you offer yourself the experience of being fully here? And it just changed the entire dynamic and relationship that the human being has. And it just brought into question this whole place of like, oh my God, you know, maybe life is really this good. Like maybe life could be amazing experience. I mean, that seems such a bizarre thing to say. But coming from how this being has experienced life from a very young age, that didn't ever seem possible. I mean, like, not even on the radar screen kind of thing.
Well, because I bet you were seeing it through that conditioned, you know, get the kind of promise and take it away. And so, of course, life doesn't look... But when you step out of that, as it sounds like happened in a powerful way yesterday, there was this, oh, life could really be this beautiful, this perfect.
Yeah, it came in and like... what dropped in at the time was, gosh, how ironic that when I finally surrender to this moment here now, then I'm free
yeah.
to actually do anything, be any way, go anywhere, have any experience,
yeah.
because it's like the choice point of freedom in a way.
Yeah.
But there is no, I don't know, there has to be this like utter surrender yeah. into this moment now.
Yeah, into life.
Into life, yeah. So anyway, it was really fun to
play. Yeah, very fun. Thank you. You. That's cool.
Like to look at something a little bit more. What's been up for me is beginner's mind.
Mm-hmm.
I think it relates to the wholeheartedness and also not checking in.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I've had the opportunity to facilitate some folks currently that are the whole range of experience with practice.
Uh-huh.
From absolutely, I just got this phone number. I don't know what's, you know, kind uh-huh. of, I don't know what's, what anything,
yeah.
you know, to folks that have a lot of practice. And just getting the gift behind that freshness of, I don't know anything,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
Even if things that are, you know, there's just no knowing the language, no reference point, no, you know, it's just, wow, it's just saying, what's up?
Yeah. Yeah, you mean the brand new person
right.
just saying, just kind of putting
right.
it out there with
yeah.
no checking in, is this the right Zen student thing to do, none of that
right.
kind of stuff. It's just, let, here it is. and the true gift in being on the in a conversation with that, in
yeah.
a facilitated conversation.
I'm just noticing the juice
uh-huh.
that I see arising with that, and and you know, I just—it's reminding me of I did a little work in the mental health field for a while.
Uh-huh.
I loved it, uh-huh. and what I loved about it was that honesty,
beginner,
you know, that beginner's mind. That's just like you know, just someplace outside of. The constraints of,
yeah.
you know, this is the way we do it in this society, and, you know,
yeah.
and I'm going to just fit into that, and, you know, just having that gone.
Yeah, the guard is down.
The guard is down,
yeah.
you know, and
whoa.
And so, and I noticed that, you know, it allows me, when I'm around that, my guard can be down as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess when I'm just in that place of looking at that and knowing that I want that, boy, she would like to contribute in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And also knowing, and what I've seen about it is then it can't be a plan.
Yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
It just can't be a plan.
Yeah.
You know, to, okay, so I'm now going to do beginner's mind.
Yeah, so the guard now takes the plan
yeah.
and says, okay, now we're going to not be guarded.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm going to be fresh. I'm going to be, you know, just real and, yeah, and it's just going to be, yeah. And, so, you know, it's just, it's, and maybe it is just coming back to that wholeheartedness of, boy, it's the fool place, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you know what's dropping in as you're talking is that the ego class has been, we're basically training in through health and fitness and that, but training to be however we want to be. So if this is how you want to be, we know the steps. You know, to put some structures in place, to do record and listen, to you know, turn the attention like was the class now to
mm-hmm.
all of the times I am unguarded. Well, you know,
mm-hmm.
how is life unguarded? How is life honest and deeply vulnerable and deeply real? And You know, and bringing your attention to that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, it just arose as you were saying that. It's, I attended the Rumi retreat.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that most struck me in that retreat was there was a poem that Rumi wrote that he was saying that one day he tried so hard to just walk and repeat the name of God with each step, and it wasn't working anymore, and all he could do was sing. You know? And and dance. And what I got from that is that he just came to that place of that unguardedness, uh-huh. that full expression without checking in with anybody if it was appropriate to dance and sing at this point.
Yeah.
But he got there because he had this incredible foundation of discipline.
Uh-huh.
That he had been years and years of really steeped in spiritual discipline.
Yes.
And that he had really, you know, it wasn't like he just rolled off the pumpkin truck and
right.
suddenly, you know, that this...
It occurred to him to sing and dance.
Sing and dance, uh-huh. and that, you know, he... that. But it was it was what evolved from his practice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sort of like it's only when you really are well learned in a craft
yeah.
that you can mm-hmm. sort of throw out the rules.
Yeah, it's Picasso in his...
Yes.
You know, in the...
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that dropped in,
uh-huh.
that being well steeped in a discipline of spiritual practice,
uh-huh.
And we'll just, to follow the projection
yeah.
back to you, you know, you can now let it go and trust that life, you know, is
yeah.
inviting you to sing and dance without turning to anyone
yeah.
in assessment.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's what is maybe, would you say, I don't know, I'm just trying this out, would you say that sort of being in that place yourself is what gives you permission to do that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And what's arising is, and I, you know, there's that place, and then there's, you know, which is, you know, total beginner's mind, and then there's also that I don't know, something's bubbling up about this, but there's that place of the beginner's mind without that discipline mm-hmm. behind it, you know, that like the new person that
uh-huh.
I'm just facilitating
uh-huh.
and there's a lot of juice in that, and then there's the juice of I don't know how to say it, but that comes
after the
foundation of...
Well, but you're experiencing the juice.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So, not, you know, we don't know what the new person,
yeah.
you know, is
yeah.
experiencing, but you, being a person who has been steeped in spiritual
uh-huh.
practice, when encountering this projection
yeah.
of an
yeah.
unguardedness,
yeah.
that's what evokes the experience
yeah,
of the juice.
That hits that
yeah,
place,
that
knows
yeah.
that point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Maybe that is what beginner's mind.
Maybe that is what?
What beginner's mind is.
Yeah.
The intersection of those things,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
at least in this moment.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Kind of a fun exploration,
yeah.
you know, to just,
in that same way of, again, the, like, I think it was two classes ago or whenever, when we were kind of being
the
explorer,
the pit helmet,
to just explore, it's like, wow, what is that juice? What does he want?
Yeah.
What is beginners? What do you do with it? Yeah.
It's a pit helmet with some flowers.
Yeah.
A little bit.
That you painted on it.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, so okay, yeah. So it's just hanging out there.
Yeah.
Looking at it, and I appreciate, yeah, being able to explore that a bit.
Exploring away.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, that brings up for me something. A while ago in a dyad, someone I was in with was talking about, just made the comment, I think I'd like to just begin practice all over again. Mm-hmm. And that just stuck with me. And what I decided I would do, because I mean, when it's something sticks with me, then I look at that and say, this see, feels like something being called. Mm-hmm. So I thought what would be fun, actually, would be to go through the books from the beginning of the book, from the key. Mm-hmm. And we have them on our shelf just now in order. And so it's just been interesting to watch. It's so clear to me that I want to do that. And it's interesting to watch conditioning say things like, well, now you have to have like a real starting date. You know, like you got to start like on the 1st of a month, or you know, the 15th of a month, or like that. Uh-huh. So I started this morning, actually, and the 19th. And I started this morning because I wanted to start this morning. And when I sat down to, what I'm going to do is record the books on, and then also just record what comes up as I do the books. And who knows what else I'll do. I don't know what else I'll do. I just started this morning recording. I had a recorder I've never used. I thought, aha. So the next thing that came up was, well, there's only 10 minutes, so you can't get anything done. You know, that kind of, it's just mm-hmm. so interesting to watch this circling, mm-hmm. alarmed conditioning out there. Yeah. So I recorded for 10 minutes, and there was an exercise, and I just did the exercise as I went through the book. And I just got how effortless that was, uh-huh. you know, to take the time that was there and just do it.
Yeah.
And the other thing that really struck me was if, you know, you could tear out page one of the key and paste it up, and there's practice. Uh-huh. You know? Uh-huh. Please do not think there's anything more important than just to be here now, yeah. attentive, alert. I forget the exact words, but I was so appreciative of that. I thought, in a way, it felt like that is indeed going back to the beginning of practice. That's it. Really. Mm-hmm. And so it was just a really fun experience, and I'm so glad I went ahead and did it.
Yeah, it's amazing what can come out in 10 minutes, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's amazing to me in a way that I did it.
Yeah.
Because I have lots of ideas about things to do and how I'm going to recapitulate, you know, this or that. But it just felt like, oh, this is what I'm going to do now. Uh-huh. And then all the time we were in group, of course, the message I'm getting is, well, don't talk about it because you're probably going to give it up in 3 days. And so, you know, so I thought, well, all the more reason to talk about uh-huh. it. So who knows, in 3 days I might do anything. But it was a very pleasurable experience.
Yes. Well,
and what, oh, I'm sorry, part of what was triggering that was to come at those things. I remember when I first read that book. Mm-hmm. I remember where I was. I remember picking it up and opening it up and being intrigued by the handwriting and all that kind of stuff. And so to come to that from 20 years later uh-huh. is just fun. It's fascinating. And I'll just be curious to see what that is like.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, you just experienced what that is like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So curious to see where that goes, where that goes next, or what happens next.
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah. I mean, every page might be a whole new. Yeah. Wow. How interesting.
Yes.
I guess I'm fascinated by not knowing.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I have my pith helmet on.
Uh-huh.
I've got my backpack.
Yeah.
And I just don't know where the backpack is.
So you're ready to set out.
I'm ready to set out.
You've started.
Or, yeah.
Already.
And it's going to be an adventure.
Yes. And to have come to that place, to have already had that experience of what we might call beginner's mind or whatever, mm-hmm. to have a freshness, of a newness after 20 years of practice, to really be in that new place of, oh, this is what practice is all about.
Yeah. Thank you for pointing out that I've already had the experience. Yeah, and who knows what experiences lie around the bend.
Yes.
And I'm just one thing I do remember that's funny is I remember reading that book, and when it got to the part about sitting on a cushion and looking at the wall, I was like, oh, well.
That's not for me.
I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to read. And so that was just, I'm chuckling about that. But anyway, it's just, I'm just pleased by how effortless this has been.
Yeah, so effortless. Well, you know, when you say about that, it does point to what was just talked about, that here's someone who's so steeped in practice, who now has no trouble whatsoever sitting down facing a blank wall and enjoys it, and, well, does it.
Does it.
But to have that ground of experience and remembering where that person used to be, and, mm-hmm. and you know, that wasn't even... Yeah, right. Because there's a, I don't know, I project just a richness in that perspective, reading the newness of it in that perspective.
Well, when I get to those pages, I'll find out.
Yeah. Thank you, very fun. Thank you.
June. So I'm inspired in the new book to put a pet helmet and a backpack in it somewhere.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where it's going
to be. That would be fun. That would be great, especially if it had little flowers on it. Yeah. And when we see it, we'll all kind of, you know, come back to them. Yeah, Justin.
Just real quick, that reminded me, I've said this before, I think, but I can remember looking in, or it's probably the key or that which you're seeking, in at the little pictures, mm-hmm. and trying to figure out, are they sitting on top of the cushion, or are they leaning against the cushion? I couldn't figure out, it's like, is it up against the wall?
Uh-huh.
Wow. And that's a real good reminder about the Gator's mind. That's, that's good. I'm gonna practice with that, because this all kinds of stuff gets in the way.
Yeah.
It's loaded. It's like being in a relationship.
Uh-huh.
I don't really have this experience, or it's been so long that this is kind of made up, but you're not seeing the person anymore.
Yeah.
You know, you've made up a bunch of stuff about who they are, maybe, or you know, this kind of thing, and mm-hmm. It feels like that happens.
Yeah, it happens with practice.
Mm-hmm. It happens with practice.
Yeah.
And I can remember I remember right where I was when I was, I mean, it was over a period of time where I was looking at the book in that way, and just trying to figure out what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And, it really was brand new, and it was exciting. Because
mm-hmm.
I was completely on my own trying to figure it out. But that was really exciting.
Mm-hmm.
It was exciting to, I know there's something there.
Yeah.
And I really want to find out what that is. That's good to remember. Because that's here now, too, in a lot of ways. But it becomes a routine or something, and it gets lost.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder if it's that there is a, so that excitement, that deep resonance when, we were reading that and you feel it. If it's there, as you say, it's there now too, but it can become routine. I'm wondering if it's like there's sort of an intention now. You know, once we've experienced that nut and we know that good stuff that comes from it, it's sort of like a, maybe ego can sort of get us to sneak and try to peek around the corner of what's coming up, rather than just staying with that excitement in that moment. Sort of what we were talking about this morning with the transitions and with the permission to really be here and experience fully, that what contributes to it being, maybe less fresh is that jumping ahead. But what you're describing is really being with it. And feeling the excitement, being aware that there's something in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what I was looking at as you were saying that is, it feels like there's, with everything, let's see how to say it, there's the newness, and then there's this poem of William Blake that I read a long time ago, he's talking about innocence and experience, and there's the innocence, that first spark of, and then there's experience, and then it feels like in there's a process of going through from innocence into experience, then back to innocence.
Uh-huh.
where it has to become, it's like, but the experience is necessary too. Because
yeah.
I can't just stay in that. I mean, I wouldn't want to still be in that place I was
right.
when I was trying to, when I was looking at the books in that way.
Right.
You know, I have all this experience now that informs how I see life and, you know, I think. And then to put that together with that innocence.
Yes.
It's that really famous, I think it must be T.S. Eliot quote where we, I can't remember how it goes, but we get to the end and find out that it was the beginning.
Yes, all along or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that. It's like both those, the innocence and experience are both needed for a wholeness.
Yes, yes. It's like what Jesus, we must become like little children again. Not right. You must be a child again.
Exactly.
It's that you must become like little children.
With all the awareness.
With everything.
And the experience and the understanding that has come in the meantime.
Yes.
Yeah,
with
that's
all
good.
That. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.